have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as you heard Rue read just a few minutes ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are glad that you're here this morning. Thank you to those of you that came and participated in breakfast. I will try not to put you to sleep because I know your belly is full. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This morning we're talking about we are gifted. And we're going to do this in light of the sermon series that we're doing, celebrating the fact that God calls us, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He calls us to serve Him in the body of Christ, the church. We are celebrating today the 20th anniversary of a building, this sanctuary, but it's so much more than that. This church, the history of this church, one of the histories that I've read, that I've written in my time, that I have read in my time here that was written, was back from 1986, and it had a tagline that said, "A History of Christian Community Involvement." And I've seen that in the life of our church, that we have a hallmark of service. Let me share with you some of the things that have given us that foundation of service in our church. All the way back in 1924, there was a group of ladies in our community that wanted this area, Simonton in specific, to have a church. They became known as the Willing Workers, and they literally for 17 years did everything they could to raise enough money to be able to build a building on our property back in the day. It literally took them 17 years to raise that money. The lady who organized that group, her name was Mabel Jameson. Her family estate, the J.B. Jameson estate in 1941, donated some land where they built the first building. Now, many of you have been in our chapel. If you haven't, I encourage you to go in there sometime. It was half the size that it is today, and that was the original building that was built here in 1941. They started a church here that year. They closed the doors in 1957 because there weren't enough people coming to church. So they literally disbanded as a church in 1957. Nobody met in that building for 11 years. Then our history as a church started in 1968 when four couples who lived in this community decided that they wanted, like those who'd come before them, to have a church in this community. Some of you think this is rural now. You can think back to those years, and especially in 1924 or 1941 or even 1968 when our church started. They wanted to have a church in this community where several families lived. There were four couples who came to this building, again, our chapel building today, half the size that it is today. The Gackies, the Holses, the Russells, and the Sabrasulas. The men tell me they broke a window in the back door. The ladies swear they did not break a window to get in, but I believe the men that they broke a window to get in. They wanted to get in that building, and they wanted to see if it would be conducive to have a church because nobody had met in that building for 11 years, basically. The building had been left neglected. There were a couple other families that our history records, the Joneses and the Renos, and then many more families that came and got involved in helping get that church started. Some of you have heard me say on June the 6th, 1968, that building wasn't ready, but they met over here in the community center. They met there for several weeks. They had their first service over here in this building on July the 15th of 1968. But Simonton Community Church, our Simonton Community Church, started on June the 6th of 1968. This church has always been marked by a hallmark of service. People that came together to get that building ready just to be able to have services in it. The community came together to do that. Very early in our history, a Sunday school was formed. Gordon Bledsoe and then a retired pastor named Harry Drennan and Nancy Hulse organized a Sunday school. They even tell me that back in the day that if they didn't have a pastor here on a Sunday to be able to have worship, they would at least have Sunday school. They would make sure that they met and had Sunday school. Some of you may remember those days and were around in some of those early days. This church has been marked by a hallmark of service. I want you to keep that in mind as we talk about the scriptures we're going to look at this morning. Again, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be in verse 12 to start with this morning, but I want you to think about what God's word has to say to us today about the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, God's word says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. Paul uses the example of the body. Some of you were here last week when I talked about my kidney transplant. You can't look at me and determine that I have a transplanted kidney inside of me. But you can look at me and say, I've got two legs and two feet and two hands. I got two eyes and two ears. You don't know how well those work, but you can look at me and you can see that my body is made up of parts. You can't see inside of my body and know what organs are mine or may belong to somebody else. You don't know what parts or pieces on the inside that I have. I can't look at your body and determine what organs you may or may not have. One of our ladies this week had her gallbladder taken out, one of the ladies who used to teach in our school. The doctors have said she doesn't need it anymore and her body will function just fine. Well, did God create a mistake by putting a gallbladder in her body? No. But the body can compensate and the body can work together. Well, Paul uses that example here in talking about the body of Christ. Let's be clear again that the body of Christ is made up of those who choose to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you are not a part of the body of Christ yet. But if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are part of the body of Christ. We have a church here in Simonton called Simonton Community Church. We are not the only church. There are other churches in Simonton. There are other churches in our community. There are some very good churches in our community. There are some of you that belong to this church. Then you're part of the body of Christ at Simonton Community Church. Some of you are visiting. You belong to another church. You are part of the body of Christ there. By visiting here, you haven't changed your location as a body. You've just come to join us today for worship. If this is your church home, then you're part of this body of Christ. Notice what Paul says here. The body is one with many members. All members are part of the body, but the body is one. And that body is the body of Jesus Christ. He goes further and he says in verse 13 that the Holy Spirit baptizes all who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior into one body. It doesn't matter what race you are, doesn't matter what religion you are, doesn't matter what the circumstances of your life is, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter any of that. What matters is that you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He doesn't put an age limit on the lower end or the upper end. He says if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit makes us one, and he calls us the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit fills us. He empowers us. Verse 14 says the body has many members. And just like your physical body, your foot doesn't say to your hand that it's more important than the hand or vice versa. They work together. They have different functions to work together. The eyes and the ears are to work together as well. You may have one eye that doesn't work as well as the other. Maybe you can't see out of that one eye, but you can see out of the other eye. Your body still functions. It may not function the same as somebody who has two eyes with good eyesight, but it can work. You can function without seeing at all. You can function without hearing at all. But your body's not reaching its maximum potential if all the parts aren't working together. Notice verse 18 again, that God created each part with a purpose and a position. Whatever your purpose and whatever your position in the body of Christ, God has put you there. Not all of us are going to be the hand. Not all of us are going to be the foot. Not all of us are going to be the mouth, or not all of us are going to be the ear. All of us have a part and a position if you're in the body of Christ. God did not make a mistake. Just like with parts of your body that can surgically be taken out or no longer function and you can still get along. It doesn't mean that those parts aren't important, and you'll see that again in a moment. All of those parts and pieces are important. When I came to this church a long time ago, one of the things I learned very quickly was that there had been a large group of people in the past and in the present, back in those days, that had been working with teenagers. I came here as a youth minister. The Pattons, the Davises, the Doans, the Smiths, the Kellys, the Zunkers, lots of families that had worked in the life of our teenagers. They had helped to lay a foundation from those who had come before them and those who had continued. Those who would come after them would follow that and work together. The Doaneses, Tim, even today, still runs our men's basketball ministry on Tuesday nights for almost 30 years now. There's been a legacy of service here, of people serving, not to get the recognition, but to make a difference and serve as the body of Christ. Not all of them did the same thing. Not all of them had the same number of kids at the same age, but they were involved in helping in the life of the church, and specifically with teenagers at that time or at various times in the life of our church. All of us have a role and a function, and we're to fulfill that function. Look with me at verse 19 as we continue in 1 Corinthians 12. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which are deemed less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And on our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. The body needs the members of the body. Again, you don't have to have every part functioning fully, but if every part is functioning fully, then the rest of the body benefits. Think about it. If you got up in the middle of the night last night, and it was so dark in your house, and you stubbed your big toe on the edge of the bed on the way to the restroom, you all of a sudden remembered that you have a big toe. Before that, you didn't even think about, as you got out of bed, I got to make sure my big toe is working. I got to make sure that it's functioning fully so that I can walk where I need to walk to get where I need to go so I can get back and get back to sleep. You didn't even think about your big toe. But if you hit your big toe on the edge of the bed, so much so that you now know how important your big toe is, then you recognize the need to have your big toe functioning well and to have it nice and calm and not upset with you in any way so that you can go back to sleep and have no issue. Every part of the body that God has given us is important. Verse 21, Paul says here, the parts don't say to the other parts that they aren't needed. That's not God's design. God didn't ask each of us to fuss and complain about the other parts. He doesn't ask us, if you have the gift of service, to fuss about those who are teaching. Or if you have the gift of teaching, to fuss about those who should be greeting at the front door. Or to fuss about those who didn't make sure that the lights are working or replace the light bulbs that have gone out. We are to work together as the body of Christ. We're to help one another and to glorify God. Each part depends on the other part for full function so that the body can function exactly the way God designed for it to. If we are a part of the body of Christ, then you have a part. You've got to figure out what that part is, what God has gifted you to do, and then use that. We sometimes, as Paul points out, we deem parts of our body as weak or honorable. God doesn't look at it that way. He doesn't say that your right hand is more important than your left hand. He doesn't say that your right ear is more important than your left big toe. He doesn't say that your right kidney is more important than your heart. All of them are a part of the body, and they are designed by God's design. Look at verse 25 again. God's design is for them to work together, not be divided and fussing each other, but to work together as the body of Christ to bring him glory, to make the body work good so that other people look at the body and see not you as an individual member, but to see him, the designer of the body. The members should have the same care for one another. Look again at the end of verse 25. It says that the members should have the same care for one another. Verse 26 goes further, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's unity in the body of Christ. Again, when I first came here, I experienced something I had never experienced before. But I saw that this church in those early days, and I believe even today, is the best church family that I've ever seen. If somebody knows you have a need, they will do their best to meet it. But I had something happen early on in my ministry here. I had a person come to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, I'm going to have some surgery. I'm going to end up in the hospital for a couple of days, and then I'm going to come home, and everything's going to be fine. The doctor says it's no big deal. I'm going to have this surgery. Everything's going to be good. Please don't tell anybody." I thought, why do they not want people to know? Because back in those days, everybody knew everything, and everybody was praying for everybody, and they were checking on each other. And they said, "It's not that I don't want people praying for me, but I don't want them showing up at my door with all of their meals, and then I got to greet them at the door. I want to just be able to rest and recover from my surgery. Then I'll tell them that I had surgery." Now, they're going to be upset with you when they find out that you told them after the fact, but I will pray for you. And that's happened several times where people said, "It's okay that y'all are praying for me, but you don't have to tell the whole world. Let me just recover in peace and quiet." Because what happens sometimes if you tell people, as the body of Christ, and the body of Christ responds, there are people with the gift of hospitality who show up at your door with food. There are going to be people who show up to help you get your kids from one place to another. There are going to be people that help you take care of whatever needs you have, take you to appointments back and forth. They're going to show up and help you do those things. That's the body working together, not everybody doing the same thing. If everybody shows up with meatloaf at your door, you're going to get tired of meatloaf real quick. If nobody's helping you with your kids or nobody's helping you with the other needs while you're recovering, then you understand the challenge that comes there. Go with me down to verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12. Paul continues and he says, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way." Believers are Christ's body. We are members of it. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you are a member of Christ's body. If you're a member of this church, Simonton Community Church, then you're a part of this body. God has given you gifts and abilities to use within this body as a member. Not all of us have the same gifts. Not all of us have the same function. We have differing gifts. If we were all the ear, then like we read earlier, where would the speaking be? Where would the sight be? God has given us different gifts to use together. And God gives the gifts. Hear me here. God gives the gifts. Man doesn't give the gifts. Man doesn't earn the gifts. Verse 30 says that we should earnestly desire these other gifts. Excuse me, verse 31. But earnestly desire the greater gifts. The idea is that the gifts should work together. If you think about this in the context of Scripture, the very next chapter, chapter 13, many of you have used because it's the greatest description of love in Scripture. Paul is telling us here at the end of verse 31, "And I show you still a more excellent way." He asks us to show love to one another. Our gifts may differ, but the fruit of the Spirit is the same. Remember these verses from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. If you're living by the Spirit, then your life should be characterized by the gifts, by the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts, on the other hand, are what the Holy Spirit gives us to build up the body of Christ, to point people to Christ. Paul says that we should follow Christ's example of love, and we should use the gifts and abilities that he has given us. Today we celebrate the 20th anniversary of opening this building, this room. On October the 6th of 2002, we actually had our first Sunday in here. What people didn't know and what we didn't know is that that last week before leading up to October the 6th, there were a lot of things that came together. One of those was the carpet on the floor was installed. And so we surprised those who came to church that Sunday. We had been meeting in the gym for a couple of years, setting that up and tearing it down every week. But that Sunday morning when people showed up for church, we didn't tell them that we weren't meeting in the gym. They figured it out when the chairs and the sound system and the stage weren't in there. They came in here and were surprised that we were going to have service in here. The first thing we did is we started with prayer. You see, we had already set up that on the 20th of October that we would have our grand opening, which we did. But we wanted to celebrate those who had come and were a part of the body of Christ, not coming for just a special occasion, but those who were coming to church to be a part of the body of Christ. So we were able to open that first service in here together. This building has been used for all kinds of services. There have been people who have gathered in here to mourn or to celebrate the life of their loved one. There have been families started in this room with marriages and wedding ceremonies. There have been people who've been baptized in this room that have made a public profession of their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through baptism. There are people who've placed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in their life in this room. There have been people who've made eternal decisions. There are people who've surrendered to the ministry. There have been people licensed and ordained to the ministry in this room. There have been all kinds of things. There have been all kinds of worship services and school gatherings and community gatherings in this room. God has used it. And some of you have noticed, because you've been here for a long time, others of you haven't seen it yet, but if you notice, there's a cross behind me. That's one of the hallmarks of this church. We keep our eyes on Jesus, the Jesus who went to the cross and died on it for our sins. That cross is a constant reminder of the victory that Jesus Christ obtained for us that we couldn't obtain for ourselves. And if you think about this building, it's on the outside there are several crosses. There's one on this wall. There's a big one on this wall that faces the highway. Up on top, there's a steeple. I insisted that there be a cross on it because I wanted people to know from a great distance that they can come here and learn about the Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of you have driven across the bridge, especially at night, coming across the river bridge. When the lights are just right, you can see this cross from a long way away. Some of you have even noticed, if you look at the building, it's in the shape of a cross. Why? It's that way so that the cross always points us to Christ. People who serve in this church, in the history of this church for 54 plus years, are doing it not to garner attention, not to garner fame or acclaim, but they're doing it to point people to the cross so that people can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and in turn they can live for Him, not for this church or the people in this church or even just to serve. Because if we're serving Him, then He will draw people to Himself and people will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They will walk on the path for Him, showing His love. To God be the glory for all of the things that He has done and will continue to do in the life of this church as we keep our eyes on Him, as we keep our eyes on the cross. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You this morning for the celebration that is the opportunity for us to thank You for this building. Father, You provided it. We didn't. Oh, there were people who gave money to make it happen, but Father, You were the one who provided the land when it didn't seem possible. Father, You were the one who worked in the hearts of Mabel Jamison and her friends all the way back in 1924 and placed on their hearts a desire to have a church here. And while that church closed its doors in 1957, it made way for our church to start in 1968. Father, there have been many, many decisions along the way that could have made this church not be here anymore. But Father, your plan was for it to be here. Father, I pray that it would be here proclaiming your name, standing firm on the truth of your word until Jesus returns. You've put us at a crossroads, literally, where people come from all over. People come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and from right here in this community to be a part of what you're doing here, and we praise you for that. We thank you that it's not about the pastor, it's not about the staff, it's not about the people, it's not about the buildings, it's not about this place, but it is about you. We want people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and serve him with all of their being because of who he is, knowing that as we serve you, whether we're the hand or we're the foot, whether we're the right eye or we're the right big toe, whatever we are, if we're doing our part, then you are drawing people to yourself, and that's our goal. So, Father, thank you for what you have done and what you are doing in this building, this sanctuary, and in this church through the lives of the people that have come through this place. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.